The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father and the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel reading today has become a popular one to talk about doubt from. But to be honest, I don't think that's really the core of what it wants to talk about. I also tend to think that brooding over doubt just isn't helpful to the Christian life. I'm not dismissing it as a fact. Even the Apostle Paul, who saw the risen Jesus in his full glory on that Damascus road, would write that we see through a glass darkly. You want to talk about doubt? It's not about fundamental things, like, is there a God? Yes, there is. And the overwhelming majority of humans, great and small, from all times and places, agree. So much so that I'd say it's foolishness to think otherwise. Paul would say that all of us are without excuse. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. We can all look out the window and recognize a generic God. Now, Luther would call that generic God the hidden God. And at least for me, this might be Luther's most practical theological thought. When we observe creation, the natural world, we observe that eternal power. And all that we see from that eternal power is that we creatures come and go. Even the mountains that rise are worn down. We extend it to our day. Stars and universes come into existence. They rush away from us and sink black into black holes. And all of these things testify to the majesty of God and tell us nothing at the same time, other than that we are but grass, here today and gone tomorrow. If that hidden God, the generic God, is on our case, the doubt is valid that we are meaningful in any way. But contrary to the hidden God, we have the revealed God. God did not stay locked up in his heavens, only communicating those invisible attributes like power and glory. God revealed himself. He revealed his very heart. He did this in many and various ways, patriarchs and prophets, judges and kings, but in these last days, he has sent us his Son. God himself came to us and revealed to us his heart. Now, this story is of a father, a son with a demon, and the disciples. And when it's told, it always follows the transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were at the top of the mountain, and they've seen the glory rest fully upon Jesus. But he's bid everyone to come back down the mountain. And those at the bottom of the mountain have not seen that. Although they have all seen the signs. As Jesus would say to the disciples of John the Baptist, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Jesus has revealed himself as God, with complete mastery over that external world, but with care for the poor. And he's revealed himself in that care, not as a God who comes in judgment, but one who has come in love. Jesus has revealed the Father as a God who has had his guts churned over sheep without a shepherd. He's revealed God not as just the God for a small sect, but as the God whose love was more than enough for Jew and Gentile. Jesus is the revealed God, the friend of inconsequential sinners. And I think that background is the confrontation in the text. The disciples had been everywhere with him. They knew everything that Jesus had done with the Father and through the power of the Spirit. They themselves had been sent out in that power. Yet, how they accomplished these things? Not by the power and majesty, but through faith. Through faith in the one who did have the power and the majesty, and through faith that that one loves us. How they accomplished these things seems to have left those disciples. They were trying to cast out the boy's demon by themselves, and they could not. And Jesus confronts them, "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I to be with you?" There are, of course, two answers to that question. In the flesh, not much longer. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. The revealed God is approaching his greatest revelation of his heart. that cross. That cross, the revelation of the love of God for us sinners, would mark the end of Jesus in that flesh with his disciples. But the other answer, he said, Jesus never leaves us. We have the Spirit's abiding with us. We have his full revelation of the love of God. Jesus promises to be with us until the end of the age. But that presence is by faith. By faith that the hidden God has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. If we are ever going to pass from a faithless generation into a faithful one, we must receive the God revealed in Jesus Christ. Should we not receive him? That hidden God, the one who wears masks innumerable, who presses down upon us, would never let us go. Like the boy, that hidden God might throw us down and foam and become rigid. That hidden God might throw us into the fire or into the water. All the while, never really knowing what's going on or knowing anything about our place. Nothing other than the exhaustion of throwing ourselves against the hidden God. It's only in faith, in the revealed God, which chases those doubts that the hidden gods want to bring up in us. Faith that in the life of Jesus, we have God's love revealed for us. Faith that he has prepared a place for. Faith that we are not insignificant grass, but we are the children of God. Children saved from the fire. That's what Jesus came to reveal. And the fact that the disciples have not received that yet is distressing to them. For it's the faith of those disciples that is going to spread that faith worldwide. It's the faith of those disciples that will demonstrate the love of God for people everywhere. And the man's reaction is that real crisis point there. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Have compassion. That's our old friend splagnizomai. It's having your guts churn. It's what happens to Jesus when he gets off the boat and sees the great crowds. He's having it again over this father. And it's exactly what Jesus has come to reveal to us about his Father. That God's guts are churned about the state of his children in his creation. Just as much as this Father evidently cares about his Son, God cares about his. And the life of Jesus is the testimony to that love. But these disciples at the bottom of the mountain are not able to relay that. The man is saying, if you have compassion, if you care enough. After all, we've seen the disciples recently telling Jesus to send the woman away. And and they've not been able to relay the revelation of the love of God to this person. Because that's exactly what this father is doubting. That God cares enough to help them. Jesus' command is simply believe. Now you can believe the patriarchs and prophets. You can believe the miracles. You can believe the cross and the resurrection. Believe that the Almighty God's guts are churned over you. Believe that this is the revealed God and it's his true face. That all of those masks of the hidden God are just the problem of looking through glasses darkly. But the light has come among us. And the light shines in the darkness. And Jesus does love you. And will never leave you. Ask, and it'll be given. Whatever troubles your heart, whatever mask of that hidden God is pressing against you, ask the revealed God. Ask Jesus. I promise, he will see you through. That's what the Father in our gospel does. I believe, help my unbelief. He asks. And God helps his unbelief. He grants him what he sought, his son. God revealed his love for him in this powerful and direct way. And the disciples later ask Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus gives them the same answer. This kind only comes out by prayer. And they didn't ask. The truth of that hidden God is that we are small. But the lie is that we have no champion. We have the greatest champion. He's already won. All we have to do is ask. Have faith that the love of God has been revealed to you. That Jesus is here and desires to pull you out of whatever water or fire or wherever life has thrown you. Ask. These problems only come out with prayer. Have faith that Jesus wants to answer in the love that he has revealed, and that he will make it plain. Amen.